Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And I think that, you know, being ahead of the game and reading the market well is very important, because your strategy might change along the way.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shump, and in this episode, we continue our conversation with Tristan Angelini, where he shares why it is so important to adapt your investing strategy according to market changes, why he chooses to develop in niche markets, and how YouTube and audiobooks led him to the success he has had today. Angelini believes that the two main things that held him back from investing initially were simply his lack of funds and fear of commitment.
Funds was always was holding me back. I really wanted to do up my car at the time. That was my first hurdle. Everyone was going out and partying, and I was always working. So I was trying to balance the two. It's hard to today as well. So, commitment. Commitment is very important. It's not all roses, but you have to dedicate yourself for a good 10 years of your life in order to see it through. And just eventually you'll keep failing, and, you might not see that's the direction you're going in life. But once you commit yourself, I think you become an expert at it, and then it's like driving a manual car after that.
As for mentors, Angelini credits his father and his uncle for teaching him about the cyclical nature of the property market.
I've got my father and my uncle as well, who I see as mentors. That was very important for me growing up too, because at the time, we're talking about real estate, and when I was a kid, I was basically saying, "Oh no, the market will never go down, and it will just keep growing and growing." And they sort of look at each other and say, "Just wait, it'll change." And they've seen the market cycles, in the early '80s or late '80s, and mid '90s, and the early 2000s. They've seen the 2008 financial crisis, so they've experienced these cycles, and listening to what they went through when they were young and they were developing is very, very important, because history tends to repeat itself.
It's great to learn from mentors like your father and uncles and stuff like that, because they've just been through it all and they can just tell you what's happened.
That's right. And especially maybe there's some kids out there at the moment who might not have been as fortunate as what I was with having those mentors, and that was the whole purpose of, I guess, coming on the podcast and being able to radiate that message out to the listeners.
And as for the best advice he's ever received, Angelini reveals it is easier to find success by sticking to what you're good at and becoming an expert at it.
Best advice would be is to stick to what you know and become an expert at it. I know it's sometimes easy to deviate from your track. You might get some different investment opportunities, and everyone's excited, but the best and sustainable strategy is to pick your pick your target, know it inside and out, and if it's selling toothpicks or, you know, developing property, become an expert at it, and you'll always make money.
After realizing the enormous amounts he'd need to pay the bank after purchasing property, Angeline turned to quick and immediate property developments to ensure he had some sort of income flow.
The best aha moment I think I had was obviously I started buying some residential land, I was building at the time. I had a construction company, I still do. However, I just kept looking at my repayments, and I had to keep making these repayments to the bank, and I've got no income coming. And then I sort of said to myself, well, I've got no income coming in on my land. I'm paying for a piece of property, but I've got no cash flow. So it's just an empty, not a bottomless hole, because the land is going up in value, but I've got no rental to facilitate my interest component on my land. So that really sort of changed my strategy into trying to buy something and develop it straight away instead of having it sitting there. Or buying a property, every time I'm looking for a property, making sure that there's some sort of, you know, house or rental income that can facilitate the interest or the repayments on the property.
By having tenants rent out his properties, Angeline would have a fallback method to repaying his loans to the bank.
Buy an empty piece of land and, it's empty. You can't rent it out for, you know, even $300 a week would help, because at the end of the day, it equates. If your construction starts, you know, 18 months later, you're in DA for, you're in council for 8 months, then you've got all your pre-application as well. So it's you keep having to put more money in, which affects your cash flow.
Angeline would also adapt his investing strategy to accommodate for any changes in the property market.
And I think that, you know, being being ahead of the game and reading the market well is very important, because your strategy might change along the way. Our strategy has definitely changed over the last 12 months, where we're not actually selling our developments anymore. We're actually developing to rent, and that's our new strategy.
And you, as you mentioned, your strategy has changed. How has that affected, say, maybe your cash flow, or how's that affected the way your business operates now?
Well, it's actually probably increased our cash flow, if anything, because we were doing two-part contracts, 90-10, for 10-90 contracts when we're selling off the plan on some of our residential sites. We've got a 10% deposit from a buyer, and then they settled 14 days after title on a townhouse site. So let's just say we're building a townhouse development site. We had a contract of sale where we're selling off the plan, and we'd have a 10% down payment, which is the deposit, and then 90% was paid once the certificate of compliance and the title was issued on that, say, a townhouse development. And basically, from month zero that we sold it until month 12, where we finished the construction and got our titles through, we'd obviously, the market has increased significantly in that time. So we've sold it on month zero, but we're settling later on down the track. We've seen that we were losing a significant amount of money in that upsell. The rental market keeps increasing and increasing. But also from a tax optimization, you know, you're paying capital gains tax on that whole entire gain. Our strategy was a rental model, which increases our cash flow.
However, there is a downside to selling off development plans.
You also reduce your cost of sales as well. For instance, selling off a plan, you got to pay agent fees. Sometimes your titles don't come through in time. So, you know, as long as you've got the certificate, once you've got the certificate of occupancy, at the moment, what we've got our certificate of occupancy, we can rent them out straight away. Where the same units that we've sold in that one development, we actually haven't got titles through from the titles office yet. So they're actually sitting there empty for months, last 2 months. It's been 8 weeks. That's some of the downside of actually selling off the plan.
Funding is always different for every property purchase. So Angelini advises investors to keep a good loan-to-value ratio in mind.
Just depends on which site that we're actually going to purchase. I mean, if it's got a house on there and we're building around that house, you know, there may be some sort of cash flow coming in from one house, or if we're demolishing a house. The easiest part is having a good, LVR, good loan-to-value ratio. I would advise not when you are doing a property development, it depends on how many units that you're developing, but not to do a 20% deposit, maybe increase that a little bit more. So when it comes time to getting your construction finance, you don't have to come up with that amount of money straight away.
However, to get the required funding, Angelini has been exploring alternate banking options over the Big Four.
Well, a little bit easier at the moment. I mean, banks, the way, you know, as we were discussing earlier, banks are getting tighter and tighter at the moment. So it depends. You can go through the Big Four. However, you know, if you're buying it through, you know, complicated trust structures, or buying it through your personal name, the banks want to see serviceability. So it depends. At the moment, we're to get our projects off the ground quicker, especially in the last 6 months, we've been going to alternative lenders that are encouraging development finance.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve further into Angelini's property development strategy, where he shares why he is opting to expand into more niche development markets.
But I think that as time goes on, I think there's going to be other areas of growth for investment and property development, in possibly other, you know, commercial developments such as childcare or, you know, aged care facilities.
His favourite podcast?
Another great podcast I don't mind listening to is Grant Cardone.
The story of his worst investing moment.
When I was 20, I bought a car, and it was the worst investment of my life.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Invest Story.
Stop waiting for the perfect time to do it, as that'll never come. You know, just get started, see where it goes. And probably two things. I'd say being involved in the property journey for us and helping as many first home buyers as possible. Look, I guess our goal, opportunities will open if you just ask.
It's so true. And don't be afraid to ask, because, you know, the worst that can happen is a no.
Exactly right. And that's it. I mean, a lot of times you'll just assume it's going to be the worst thing in the world if someone says no to you, but you know worse off than you.
Since the current property market is slowing down, Angelini prefers to develop and hold his properties and also work in more niche industries such as childcare and aged care facilities.
I think our rental market is going to be quite strong. You know, that's I guess that's our strategy is probably, I think, the best strategy to have, to develop and hold it and get a cash flow from that same property, until the market does increase, or, you know, the demand becomes a lot more than what the, supply is. That is probably the best for residential, you know, low-rise residential developments. That would be, I suggest, a good strategy. You know, but I think that as time goes on, I think there's going to be other areas of growth for investment and property development, in possibly other, you know, commercial developments such as childcare or, you know, aged care facilities. I think that those growth they're going to be the growth industries in the future.
Especially with so many more kids coming, you know, being born in the last decade or so. I've noticed that just generally around playgrounds and all those areas have all started to pop up with more of those things. So I think government and council and stuff see the need for that.
That's right. So basically our population is going to increase. Children that are getting born are going to increase. And I think government subsidies are increasing with some of these childcare centres. So they're going to be good models in the future.
Angelini's first investment property was a small three-bedroom house, which slowly led him to more bigger and better investment opportunities.
Well, I start off with one domestic dwelling in Werribee. It was just an 18 square home. That was all I could afford at the time. Like I said, a three bedroom single story dwelling, and then from there I then reinvested into other sort of growth strategy areas where I was able to buy other investment properties and amalgamate them into development sites, and that's how I rolled that on, and that started probably 13, 14 years ago.
Rather than working on a broad range of residential developments, Angelini has moved on to more specialised development markets.
We sort of stopped, we've put the, well, not the brakes on, but we've expanded into other development markets, childcare centres. We've got a couple of sites at the moment that we're working with a national provider. In the area that we specialise in, we're looking at a housing affordability model, which we think that's going to be a growth industry, especially with housing prices the way they are in Melbourne and Sydney. So that's where we see the growth areas happening. So childcare. Housing affordability, such as rooming houses, disability, specialist disability accommodation. They're the industries that we want to push into, which is still residential but specialised development. So becoming more niche in our developments.
Angelini decided to work in childcare and aged care facility developments after realising how competitive the standard development market is.
With the singles and the dual occupancies and the three townhouses, is that the market is very competitive. So I don't like going and buying a property where I'm going to auction with, there's 10 other people bidding for that property, and I know that my profit margin is getting eaten because someone just wants to enter the market. So that's why we sort of get creative with different sites, because we're going to be yielding it with our niche product, not with a townhouse development.
Angelini started developing childcare centres after finding out its valuable growth patterns.
We constantly were going to, in the last 4 years in Melbourne, 5 years, the market has been growing, especially in our area in Western Melbourne, has been growing by 15 to 20% per year. And every single time a good site came up, it was 800 square metres. It was going to auction. It was selling for 10 to 15% above market value. And we couldn't get into any more development. So we started getting a little bit more, like I said, niche in our products, and starting to pursue a semi-commercial model.
Angelini's go-to book recommendation is the classic Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, which was pivotal in helping Angelini start off on the right foot.
The best book is probably Rich Dad, Poor Dad from Robert Kiyosaki. That really changed my life from a business perspective as well, to learn about what is an asset, what is a liability,
and really analysing everything that you do in life, and you know, just gaining financial education is so important, even in business. I mean, you know, I'm not a, like I said, I got kicked out of school. I was basically a dropout, you know, I really had a bit of depression when I was young because I didn't really have a direction. You know, I was working in a truck and I had no, you know, how am I supposed to? I can't go to school because, you know, I wasn't smart enough, and that's what you know, school and the system ended up telling me. But you know, I worked hard, and you know, I was managed to find books like these and inspire myself to just go out and have a crack.
The key to Angelina's success in development would be his habit to constantly listen to audiobooks and watch YouTube videos about the property market.
A habit would be I constantly listen to audiobooks and YouTube channels about what's going on in the marketplace, and developing my financial knowledge, my business knowledge, into my real estate knowledge, because markets keep changing, you have to keep to the forefront of that to obviously strategize. Chess is really good. I enjoy playing chess. I never thought I'd say that, but yeah, it's good for it's good for your brain to strategize on how you're going to play your next move, and that transitions in life as well.
Now, with a young family, Angelini tries his best to balance his work as a property developer with family time.
And obviously, a lot of time and, you know, effort has gone into my business, and now I've got a young family, so now I've got a different ambition, and that's trying to balance business and family as well, which is I think a lot harder than it is to become an expert at something. I've got a son; he's nearly two, so I've got a young family at the moment. There's sleepless nights, and I've got to get up at, you know, I get up at 4:35 every morning, and it's getting harder and harder as I get older and older.
He also listens to a variety of audiobooks and podcasts, all on different aspects of property.
A couple of audiobooks that I've listened to. One would be Outliers. There's another one by Napoleon Hill. I'm just trying to think. I like ones like Freakonomics. That's interesting. The Barefoot Investor. I've also listened to a couple of ones on angel investing. You know, just to do a bit of research. There's one with the ABCs in real estate. I mean, even I still listen to simple things like that too. It just sort of reinforces that what you're doing day to day is you're sticking to the basics instead of overcomplicating things.
Angelini recommends Grant Cardone's podcast as well.
Another great podcast I don't mind listening to is Grant Cardone. I think he's a definitely interesting cat to listen to. We live in a very unique time where, you know, from a click of a button at your fingertips, you can listen to any sort of information that you want to. And I think that a new generation should take advantage of that, because the information is literally at your fingertips.
One of Angelina's big regrets along his property development journey is the car he bought when he was 20. Which he deems was the worst investment of his life.
I'd say, don't buy that car, because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you a lot of money, and you could have put that into a property. I would say to myself, buy more property. That's what I would have said 10 years ago. When I was 20, I bought a car, and it was the worst investment of my life, because I ended up selling it 2 years later. I lost my license, I don't know how many times, by driving it. It was an expensive. Investment, and costly.
And what is he most excited about? his property development journey over the next 5 years?
The most exciting thing that I see is I think that it's in property development, there's a lot of older, it's an older industry that I think that technology is going to catch up. And I see that by being, in trend with technology and having that that experience, I think that I've got a great advantage for myself and our company. So I think that that's definitely exciting. And, obviously the growth of Australia, the migrants in Australia, I think that's definitely exciting in the next 5 years to be in this position. Even, cryptocurrency and blockchain technology, I think that's, I think that's got a lot of room to move within that, within obviously the real estate and maybe property investment industry. There's a lot of things that could happen, which is exciting.
For our listeners who are interested in Angelina's property development journey, his LinkedIn is the fastest way to get in contact with him.
Look, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to answer any questions and help people on LinkedIn. Just type in my name, Tristan Angelini, or alternatively, contact me through arcproperties.com.au.
Thank you to Tristan Angelini, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Also, are you interested in small investments with big profits? If the answer is yes, simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to register your interest. When you sign up, you'll receive deals at wholesale price, which I've negotiated with the vendor. These deals generate positive cash returns from day one and only send these out exclusively to my community. To find out more, text me your email address on 0499881040. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.